Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and it has been an interesting week in the NASCAR world. It is Zach speaking to you. John will be calling in momentarily. Brady is not feeling well, so he will be taking the weekend or the show off, I should say. But I will be here. I will talk about the racing, the action. When John is able to call in, we will talk about some major news that happened. So the first thing I want to say is John will be coming in and talking about the incident that happened with Bubba Wallace. If you don't know what happened, over the weekend there was an incident where a quote-unquote, and I'm going to say it like that now because we do have the official word from what it was, noose was found in the garage area. Bubba did not see it directly. A crew member saw it, who then told his crew chief, who then told NASCAR, and NASCAR did started an investigation with the FBI. John and I have gone over a lot of this. We'll talk about it then. That will be covered. But the big thing is, this weekend at Talladega was the first time a good amount of fans were able to come out to the race and watch, and it was fantastic. No one was able to come to the Xfinity Series on Saturday. Sunday's race, however, turned into a rainy flop fest that then got transferred to Monday. And I know some people are like, why didn't they race anyway? It cleared up and such and such. Talladega doesn't have any lights. So if you were someone as my co-host, John, Dr. John joins me.
Hello, hello. John.
There you are. So I was just talking about, I'm good. I was just telling the people about the interesting news. I told them a little bit about how we'll talk about Bubba Wallace and all that, but I was talking about how the fans were finally allowed back in. A small select, about 5,000 fans were allowed back in to watch the race this weekend at Talladega on Sunday/Monday.
So you had 5,000 people.
5,000, give or take. Some people probably went back home, and it was only limited to a 150-mile radius of the track. So people from Atlanta, Talladega, just essentially a 150-mile radius, 5,000 tickets were sold, and boy, howdy, did those fans get one hell of a race to watch.
Well, that is, you know, it was great, and they deserved it. Looks like, you know, we're hearing some interesting things about the COVID-19 virus, and one is that more and more people are getting it, but it's not the older crowd, it's the younger crowd, and they don't seem to have much problem with it. It's more like the flu. Even though we have more and more cases, it appears as though society is going to be kind of getting back on track, which is good, and I mean, we're all going to get it. I mean, we all get the flu. You know, most people, a lot of people get the flu. Most everybody gets the cold, so we, you know, get the virus. But that is a good thing. That is what it seems as though we are being told by the government and the news media. So looks like we might have some people going to some races here pretty soon. I think it'll start easing up here within a month or so, and we'll be kind of back to normal. I'm still kind of afraid to put together any Comic-Con just yet. I mean, it's just a little scary, but for me, but, you know, we'll see. So back on with Bubba Watts with Bubba. How about that?
Well, that's fine. So I kind of said that you would come in, we would talk about what had happened, and it's kind of an interesting timeline since we officially heard about this. So late Sunday afternoon, a quote-unquote, and I said this earlier, quote-unquote, because we can say it now like that, noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage stall. Now, Bubba Wallace did not see it himself. A crew member, if the timeline that I've seen that everyone is talking about is correct, a crew member saw it, reported it to Bubba's crew chief, who then reported to NASCAR. NASCAR then immediately took this very serious, especially with the events that's happened in the past few weeks, to then go straight to the FBI. They did an investigation, and now just a few hours ago, the FBI have released a statement saying there was no hate crime committed. In fact, that quote-unquote noose was there when over a year ago when the Wood Brothers with Paul Menard were in that garage stall using it for racing. So it is an interesting circumstance that have kind of changed in the past 24 hours, but it did show the solidarity that NASCAR has, not just with teams, but drivers. It was an incredible moment talking about what had happened. And even though, yes, no real racial incident happened, it is great to see that NASCAR backs their fellow, I call them the actual brother, because that's what it is. The NASCAR is like a family. You see all drivers tweeting their support to Bubba and talking about it. And even all of NASCAR, all the drivers pushed his car out to the front of the field before the race even started. You saw just a whole wave of NASCAR crew members, and even Richard Petty, the King, the only owner to have gone to a race, 82 years young, someone that could really be affected by the coronavirus, there to support, not just to support his team, but to show support to his young driver who has battled this kind of diversity. Even though there was no real incident, he has battled the racial issues with races stemming from all the way to the south, all the way to the north. So even though nothing had been really done, no real injustice, no real fights or anything, or no real news, I should say, just a misunderstanding or just someone maybe thinking too much because of the worry that he has, that Bubba Wallace has a target on his back with some people, it still showed that NASCAR as a whole has a solidarity with its as a family.
Yes, it does, and it's wonderful. It really is. You know, there are a lot of sports families. I can say that wrestling is quite a sports family as well. I'm lucky to be a member of that. You're part of the racing family, so we're all here. I just got my copy of the Cauliflower Alley Club, the Ear, the quarterly magazine, and I was reading it this afternoon right before I heard about Bubba Wallace, and that was news that nothing really had happened, but we're glad to see that NASCAR reacted the way they should have reacted. So three cheers to NASCAR and three cheers to everybody that's part of this whole family.
And that's a big thing that, you know, we saw the encouragement coming from drivers both in the Cup Series, in the Xfinity Series, in the Truck Series, competitors that have raced, worked, and that are friends with Bubba Wallace. And Bubba got to celebrate with some new fans. Even though he had a great run, he didn't finish too well because of a gamble with fuel mileage that a lot of people had taken. But he had celebrated like it was a win to show solidarity. And there was a lot of people who had been to their first race because they heard that there was an African-American driver making his name, and he showed it. He was a very strong force this weekend, and by golly, he celebrated as if it was a win, even though his very good friend, Ryan Blaney, they've been buddy-buddy for a very long time, going back racing in the Bandoleros in Charlotte, if you know what those are, you know, even celebrating his buddy's win. So it's a very cool thing, and the NASCAR fans were cheering him on, and we're cheering him. We'll still cheer him on. I'll still cheer him on. I got to see one of his race wins. It was my first ever race I got to work at in Gateway in Southern Illinois. So it's very great. It's great to see the family. There are still people who are saying, oh, this was staged, this was that. We have some very strong issues and people making threats. You got to take everything as if it's a threat, and, you know, that's what they thought this was. Luckily, it was not. Everyone's okay, and we're going to go back racing this weekend in Pocono.
That is great. That's could not have any better news.
Oh, I love that. And I know, John, you didn't watch any of these races, and I'm going to have to take you. I think Talladega will be a track for you to go watch because that track itself I want to inform you on some stuff. So Talladega is a track that many drivers, when it first opened up in 1969, actually protested and did not race. In all reality, there were only three NASCAR teams that ran the first ever race that was deemed a quote-unquote Cup Series race at the time. And the reason why they only three drivers had done it, well, they were felt unsafe. It was the biggest track that they had, some a little more steeper banking. It's 2.66 miles long compared to Daytona, which is 2.55. And at that point, Talladega had been reaching massive speeds during some tests during the week. and a lot of drivers had backed out to where NASCAR let another series, the Busch Grand National Series, which is now the Xfinity Series, run, or let a lot of those competitors run their cars there. Even though they were 15 to 20 miles per hour slower, they let them run it so that way they could still have a race on Sunday.
Absolutely cool. I don't know if it's still true, but do you know the track manager at Talladega?
I've heard names, but I'm not too sure off the top of my head.
I'm trying to remember.
Are you asking, do I know him personally?
His mother. His mother's was one a very good friend of my aunt's in Winston-Salem. And I'm trying to remember her. Yeah, Grant, what was his name? She divorced him, and that was his last name. And then she married my buddy Steve Tyre. It's Sarah Tyre, and her husband was Grant. And I cannot remember his last name. He was general manager at Talladega. So I can see if we're going to go down there, see if I can. I'll see if everyone's still around like they should be, and we'll go from there. Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
Grant Lynch.
Well, Talladega.
We'll see what we can do.
Well, and Talladega is definitely a track. But John, I feel like because you went to Clemson University, not too far from Studio G, and you even told me some of your stories when you were in the frat, when you were in the fraternity, I feel like this would be the place for you.
Clemson. Okay, well, that's good.
Well, not just that.
I really think that Bristol would be the best place for me because that's where all the Bigfoots are now. Come on. But and we run the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference up there in Kingsport, which is about 18 miles from
Talladega. 18 miles from Bristol Speedway. Yeah. Now, why Talladega? Well, John, if I were to tell you there's a Talladega from the moment people can go in there on Thursday afternoon till Monday morning, if I told you they were partying 24/7, would you believe me?
Probably.
Well, I feel like that.
They probably are sports fans.
I feel like that going down to the infield of Talladega would be an adventure for you because you would find a lot of people who like to party, but also have the same fascinations as you and the same beliefs as you. Bigfoot, the Lizard Man, and all of that. You could definitely find a lot of people there.
Be nice. Now, Lizard Man Day is coming up this Saturday. This Saturday, the 27th, we are celebrating Lizard Man Day on the website, lizardman.com. Join us. It's going to be a blast. What it's going to be. So that's right. Nothing bad about Lizard Man. Lizard Man's awesome. So anyway, yeah, sure. I look forward to it. Really look forward to getting back up to Kingsport because they gave us such a good reception at the Kingsport Raceway annual banquet. It was great. They did some good interviews. We got those on here and everything, and we'll see if we can't be doing some more of these after if we're not just socked with the COVID virus. But it'll be a lot of fun. So now, to me, tell me what happened. Tell me everything. Thing that happened this weekend. Brady is got a hall pass for this week, and so you got to tell us.
He's under the weather,
exactly.
Yeah.
Or is he over the weather?
Well,
he's probably over it.
It's not that bad in Iowa. It's been storming a little bit, and that's my weather man for the Midwest. That's all I'm going to tell you. But this weekend was an interesting weekend. Like I said, this is the first time we had fans in the stands, but only for the Cup race, not for the Xfinity race on Saturday, which saw some crazy racing action. It's interesting whenever we go to Talladega because it is a crapshoot. You can have some of the bad, worst, slowest equipment and perform like it's grade A $1 million performance. You know, you've had Toyota backing from Joe Gibbs or Chevy backing from whoever, and you could really run as if you are going for a championship. And to tell you the God's honest truth, you look at how some of the racing went, you would think that there are people who are never that good of racing up there going for a championship. In the first stage, we didn't see that much of a diversity. We did see the 07 and the 02, Brett Moffitt in the 0-2 finishing ninth, and the 0-7 of, I believe that was Gray Golding coming back, where last year at the Talladega race, he finished second. He finished 10th, but then he had the usuals. You had Justin Haley, Anthony Alfredo, and the 21, the 98, the 10, you know, a lot of the regulars, but it still felt like it was an incredible race in action that first stage. And at the end of the second stage, again, we had some underdogs. Brett Moffitt finishing ninth again in the second stage. We also had the 68 of Brandon Brown, who had spent a little extra money for a better engine package, because when you are at the track there in Talladega, a better engine can help you a little bit. But I will say this for sure, he spent it wisely, because he did perform fairly well, even though he was almost taken out with in the axe or towards the end, but he still finished 11th overall. But this race, for me, Talladega is always a crapshoot, because of the fact that we have so many different, and I mean there's so many different possibilities. Just looking at the top 10 itself, you have a vast array of drivers. You don't just have all Chevys. Well, you actually kind of do almost. The top 10, it consists of 9 Chevys and 1 Ford. You have to go all the way down to Brandon Jones, number 19, for Joe Gibbs Racing, finishing 16th before you get a Toyota. The Chevys, they're out there in mass numbers, but they definitely perform well. And I'll tell you what, if I was a betting man, I don't think I would have put that 9 out of the top 10 would have been a Chevy. And honestly, I would have said maybe half to 7 of them. But this race overall was fantastic. We had Justin Haley winning overall, getting his first career win in the Xfinity Series, and the first time his sponsor, Leaf Filter Productions, who's been in the racing community for a very long time, Matt Colleague, who is a big partner in Leaf Filter, which is a gutter cover to make it easier for you to clean. He's been sponsoring drivers in the with Leaf Filter for many years, going back to Blake Koch in TriStar Motorsports, and even Go Fast Racing had a couple race deals with him. To now make his own team in the 11 car, where Blake Koch would run for 2 seasons, then Ryan Truex, and now Justin Haley, who got his first win after a little bit of redemption in the Xfinity Series. He was running for a win at Daytona just a couple years ago, and unfortunately did not get that win, was taken away because he passed under the double yellow line. He got a redemption, though, at Talladega, getting his first win, and his first win for the number 11 car, which was fantastic, with a big push from from Ross Chastain and AJ Allmendinger, who all three of those teammates finished in the top 10. But if it wasn't for that late push, who knows if we would have seen Justin Haley get his first win, or JJ Haley, whichever one you'd like to call him, or whichever one he would go by. The top 10 itself is consisted of 4 Chevys and a Ford. We have Justin Haley, who I said won, Ross Chastain, who won the Dash for Cash, which next week, Justin Haley, Ross Chastain, Austin Cindric, and Alex LeBay, I believe, will be the next contenders for that. But then we had Jeb Burton in the third place position, getting a very good redemption run for himself earlier this year at Daytona. He had a mishap that cost him the win, a big wreck, and luckily he got to keep all 4 wheels on the ground. Austin Cindric with a very fast run for the number 22 for Penske, finishing 4th place, even leading some laps. And Brett Moffitt with a fantastic finish in the 02R Motorsports. And that's really the first time they've had a strong finish in the Super Speedway Daytona. They got wrecked out and didn't really get the redemption, and this is kind of some redemption for them. If you look at the top 5, 4 out of the 5 led laps, Justin Haley of 16, Ross Chastain of 24, Jeb Burton and Austin Cindric leading 8 laps. But something very interesting about this race was the fact that Junior Motorsports for a very long time had all 4 cars in the top 5. In fact, having them 1 through 4. It wasn't until later, because of some racing incidents, that unfortunately we saw them not be the top or not be all together, which is unfortunate, but it still led for some good racing action. Justin Allgaier being the worst finishing out of them after a crash on lap 104, I believe, or 105, where he would end his day a little early. Even then, not a bad run for them. If you look at the top 10, Anthony Alfredo in the 21, having a fantastic run. A.J. Allmendinger, again, who was up there. And Anthony, by the way, did get to lead some laps, leading five altogether. A.J. Allmendinger finishing in the seventh position. Greg Galding, who I said got second last year in this race, finishing in the eighth position. Alex LeBay getting a really good career run of a ninth. And Noah Gregson, who early on was leading 19 laps for himself. 19. You can't put him out because he's been doing one hell of a job for himself, finishing 10th. The top 15, a little different than normal. Not as many heavy hitters. Only really one heavy hitter. We have Brandon Brown at 11th, who, like I said earlier, had a little more of a performance run going for him. He started in the way back and pushed his way up towards the front. At one point, he was far back at 30th, came back, was in the top 10 for quite a bit of the race, but then a late race incident pushed him back. We had Michael Annette, the other junior motorsports car, finishing in the 12th position, even leading laps, leading 11 laps in total. We had Jesse Little in a fantastic run for Johnny Davis in the motorsports number 4 car, finishing 13th. Jeffrey Earnhardt in the O car, the zero car for Johnny Davis Motorsports, finishing 14th. We had Tommy Joe Martin, and that team has been struggling a little bit. They were even in a late race incident, but still brought home to a top 15 finish with their team. Not bad for themselves. And then we finally get to go in to where the Toyotas are, and they're kind of back, some because of racing incidents and some just because of bad calls. Brandon Jones in the number 19 for Joe Gibbs Racing, finishing 16th. Cesar Bassarelli making one of his few starts for the year, finishing 17th for Mario Gosselin. Chase Briscoe, a fantastic racer this year with two wins under his belt, leading 15 laps at this race, finishing 18th. Robbie Lyons, who's making another one of his few starts for the year, finishing in the 19th position for Johnny Davis Motorsports. And then Mason Mercy for BJ McLeod Racing, the number 99, finishing 20th, which is a very good run for them. Not often you get to see that 99 car up there. The top 20, the 25th through 21st, a little more of a normal. Vinny Miller for BJ McLeod Motorsports, finishing 21st. Chad Fincham, who had an interesting pit road incident, finishing 22nd. BJ McLeod in the number 6 for Johnny Davis Motorsports with the Happy Father's Day car. All the crew guys, every single one of those that work at the shop, they got their father's name put onto the car. Very cool gesture by Johnny Davis, finishing 6th. Jeremy Clemens being the first car lapped down, finishing 24th. And Mike Harmon finishing in the 25th position. Like I said, Chad Fincham had an interesting incident on pit road. He locked up the rear brake, slid into his pit stall, and, well, he was sideways. He was facing the opposite direction. But under NASCAR rules, as long as your car is in the pit box, you can change tires and do all the stops you need to. So what did they do? They finished this. They did the entire stop, 4 tires and fuel on that car, and was sent right back out to the race. 26th on back to 30th, Timmy Hill in the 61 car finished at 26th, having some issues later on in the race, but still had a decent run for himself. Matt Schneider finishing in the 27th position, crashing out. Justin Allgaier, again, one of those that crashed out, finishing 28th for Junior Motorsports. Jeff Green, who had a fantastic run going for himself, hard impact that kind of destroyed the front end of that car. He was unfortunately done at that point, finishing 29th. Ryan Sieg in the 39 car finished 101 laps. Unfortunately, was in a race incident and was able to get back out there, finishing 30th. 31st, all the way back to 35th, we had Cody Vandeleur, and this is where a big incident took out a majority of great cars. Cody Vandeleur finishing 31st. And Harrison Burton finishing 32nd for Joe Gibbs Racing. Cody checked up and sent Harrison Burton down, sent him right back up in the way of Josh Williams, who finished 33rd, and Joe Graff Jr. in the 08, who finished 34th. Those two guys had some hard hits, but as long as Colin Garrett, who finished in the 35th in the 26th car, those five drivers were in that major incident, and luckily they got to walk out all right. but from 36th on to last place. We have Tim Views for Mike Harmon Racing in the 47th, finishing 36th. Riley Herbst in the 37th, who had a really odd crash in the 18 car, finishing 37th from 76 laps. Matt Millis just overeating, structural issues for BJ McLeod. And John Jackson in the number 66 for Carl Long Racing, finishing out in the last place. But this race, we had some interesting incidents. I'll say it like that, John. Well, that's what I'm going to ask you, John. So let's say you're one of these guys. You're going almost 200 miles per hour. You all of a sudden take a hard left turn. You're not going to hit anything, but what are the chances you're going to get hit by a driver or by another or by someone else, or even your ability to save the car? What do you think your odds of doing that are in general?
It's gonna be a tough thing to do, I'll tell you that.
Well, that is very true. So Noah Gregson, who was who led many laps in this race, incident that really caught the eye of a lot of people. It was the last caution we had at lap 106. Him and Justin Allgaier accidentally pushed him a little too hard in the tri-oval coming to the start-finish line and just sent him sideways, which then caused a big wreck that took out quite a few cars, or collected quite a few cars, including the 19 of Brandon Brown, the 13 of Chad Fincham, the 38 of Jeff Green, the 61 of Timmy Hill, the 93 of Matt Schneider, the 41, the 1, the 15, the 68. But incredibly, and I do mean this incredibly, Noah Gregson, who spun out in front of the entire field at the point he was running second or third, he manages to slide all the way, gets four flat tires, but gets hit by no one, doesn't sustain any damage. The only damage he has is from one of the flaps on the hood coming off. No damage, hit by no one, plus cars go careening towards him. That's something that you can't really say you'll see that often.
Well, and now what position did he finish in?
Well, he actually still managed to recover and have a decent day. With this being a late race incident, he still finished 10th. He had to go all the way around the track with four flat tires, not too fast to tear up the body work, but still finishing 10th out of 25 cars on the lead lap still is a pretty good achievement for that young man.
Well, that's great. Listen, I had a flat tire last week, and I had to drive about 4 miles to get to a tire shop, so I knew exactly how he felt. I was not going very fast, okay? I was about 15 miles an hour. He was probably going a lot faster than that, but anyway, glad he made it. Aggressive, so.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's something interesting you may not know. So these tires that they run at a lot of tracks, depending on how fast the speed is, but they do use these specific tires at super speedways. It has an inner liner in it. So if the outer liner, basically the part of the tire that makes contact with the track, blows, gets flat, whatever, there's an inner liner that will still hold the car up, give it some pressure to be able to limp it back around. So he's able to still do a pretty good click if the inner liners were held up intact. And I can't really say if they were or not, because in all honesty, if it were me, I'd be slamming on the brakes and praying to God, hoping nobody hits me at 160 plus miles per hour.
Is that how fast he's running with those four flats?
Well, no, not 160. I'd say probably closer to 60, 70 miles per hour at most. And I do mean at most of that.
Okay. Well, 10th is great. 10th is great when you almost got killed.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's like winning the race.
Especially with how hard especially how hard a hit that can be. And we definitely saw that with the incident that happened a little earlier on lap 97 with a lot of those drivers, like you said, Josh Williams, Colin Graff, Joe Graff Jr., Harrison Burton, and Cody Vandeer. This was a racing incident that happened where a car in front of Cody in the number 52 Jimmy Means car checked up. He slowed up, and Cody slowed up, and Harrison Burton was right behind him. He dipped down, but he accidentally clipped Cody's car, and that just sent a mass of cars, about five of them, into each other. We had Josh Williams, who had a very hard impact with Harrison Byrne into the outside wall. Luckily, they were both able to get out under their own power. But just another five cars had a very scary incident. And I even talked to someone. I showed him the footage. I said, you know, that almost reminds me a little bit of Dale's crash. You know, not as obviously not as hard because there was a lot more acceleration, but just how hard of an angle and how hard of a hit that really was. And luckily, with them having the Hans devices and the safety barrier there, they were able to walk out. And it was kind of funny. If you watch the broadcast, you heard them say, because they had the cameras on Josh Williams and on Harrison Burton, they go like, oh, Josh is upset with Harrison. He cut down there to the healthcare center after the driver's released. Harrison got out, talked. So, nah, Josh wasn't angry at me. You know, he was just angry at the situation. He was glad that I was all right, and I was glad he was all right. And you heard Eric Almirola, who was in the booth, talk about how, well, you guys putting words in his mouth thinking that they're mad at each other. That's how you get the drama going.
Well, watch out about that drama. I was in enough of it today, so
that is for
that's
sure.
All good.
Luckily, with this race, with this race, there was really some great. I mean, just great racing action altogether. We had a competition caution at lap 12. At lap 27, we had the end of the first stage, which again we had Justin Haley win the stage point. Anthony Alfredo getting second place. Chase Briscoe getting third. Ross Chastain, Austin Cindric, Brandon Jones, the 20 car of my brain just stopped working. Who is in the 20 car? Golly, well, I don't like Riley Herbst, or not Riley Herbst, I'm sorry, Harrison Burton getting that one. The one car of Michael Annette, the 02 Brett Moffitt, and Gray Galvin getting second. In the second stage at lap 52, we had Chase Briscoe win. Michael Annette get second. Austin Cindric get third. Noah Gregson get fourth. Ross Chastain getting fifth. Justin Haley getting sixth. The 8 car of Jeb Burton getting seventh. The 19 of Brandon Jones getting eighth. The 02 Brett Moffitt and the 68 of Brandon Brown finishing in the top 10 for that one. But this race overall, very clean, very great racing. Great pack racing, and just a race that people are going to look back on after this pandemic and say, you know, this was pretty good racing action. It wasn't like the traditional Xfinity race where we see, you know, a group of 12 cars have a breakaway. Really didn't have that much. And even under green, we had 4,184 passes, 46 per green flag. That just shows how often that they can really pass on these super speedways. And the margin of victory, 0.299 seconds. Not much of a victory.
That's not much, is it?
That is not much. Less than a quarter of a second, but I'll tell you what, you got people who say that that win might be stolen. I say that win is justified at that point. But overall, a great race win, great racing action across the board for the Xfinity Series. And luckily, no one got hurt. Only a handful of cars were destroyed, and even the points leaving there. Noah Gregson, who's had a fantastic season, has the points lead, 15 points back. Chase Briscoe in the 98 for Stuart Haas. Only 15 points back. Austin Cindric, 43 points back. Ross Chastain, who hasn't had the best season, but consistency is on his side, getting 47 points behind Harrison Burton. 70 points. Justin Haley, 84 points. Brandon Jones, 94 points. Justin Allgaier, 132 points. Michael Annette, 173 points. Ryan Seed, only 196 points. And we are almost halfway through the season, so this is bound to change. We are 11 races into the season so far, and I can't wait to see how much this is still going to shake up with so many more races to go.
Wow. It's going to be amazing.
It shall be. So, do you have any questions on the Xfinity Series or anything for this past race, John, that I could answer for you?
Probably not right now. I mean, I think let's keep going. This is the world's strangest the Charlotte Lions, but it's fun, and I hope everyone out there is having a good time.
I definitely know I am. So that was the Xfinity race, which overall Xfinity series, fun series to watch, but the Geico 500, the big race that a lot of people will come to the Talladega Super Speedway. This race was supposed to happen on Sunday, but Mother Nature yet again this season plagued us with weather conditions. And when I say weather,
great,
differential. John,
I am glad.
I am not. I was sad.
I am thrilled.
I did not like that.
Because I'll tell you what Geico did to me. They clocked my insurance. When I was not at fault, my car was parked. Someone ran into it, and they gave and they went up on my record. So let's let Mother Nature have her way with Geico.
Well,
my lizard man will eat your gecko any day of the week. Are you there?
I wonder what fried gecko tastes like.
I don't know, but lizard man will not can tell us all about it. I'll call him up and he'll let me know if he answers the phone. That's all I got to say. So, okay, so go on with the Geico gecko race.
Well, the Geico 500 in Talladega was supposed to run on Sunday, but unfortunately, Mother Nature plagued us yet again, and there was some pretty heavy rain. John, I'll have to send you a clip, but one of the jet dryers that they have was on track. He started sliding down the embankment. I mean, that just shows how steep and how heavy of a track Talladega is. But overall, this race, it was dicey from the beginning. I mean, no matter what, there's 57 lead changes, and we don't often see that. If you were to scroll down the list of the lap leader breakdown, from the start of it, where Martin Truex Jr., who won the pole, led the first four laps, all the way down to Ryan Blaney, who led the last and most important lap of the race, the last one. It's quite a feat. I mean, 57 lead changes in 188 laps. And not just that, it was a constant of having a lot of different drivers up there, from the small underfunded teams to the big guys like Stewart Haas Racing, like Richard Childress Racing, also up there having Hendrick Motorsports and Joe Gibbs. Like I said, a lot of different teams, a lot of different competition, I'll say. And it was a fun, fantastic race. The first 27 laps were first 26 laps were green. That is when the first competition caution came out. We had rain, and then we only had a handful of real accidents. And I do say accidents, until that last lap, that's always what happened. But if you go down the list, the top five themselves, all from different manufacturers, two Fords, one Chevy, and two great-looking Toyotas. We had the race winner, Ryan Blaney, who won the most laps, 63, and he's now the defending race winner again. He won the fall race here in the same kind of style, winning by not much, and I'll get to the race margin of victory soon. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who's also won at this track, and I believe this race itself, leading five laps, getting second. Eric Almirola, who's no stranger to this place. He's won here and has a fantastic track record, I believe being in the top five for the past 12 races here now. Denny Hamlin, who his sponsor FedEx gave up their logo and instead put the National Civil Rights Museum on there as education for the nation. Finished fourth and even led 18 laps for himself. And Eric Jones, whose his first victory comes at a Super Speedway, Daytona, finishing fifth, a great run for the young man. Chris Buescher, who has won a race at Pocono, which is where we're going to next, led four laps, finishing sixth. Alex Bowman, finishing 12th at one point, almost looked like he could win. John Hunter Nemechek with a career best finish of eighth at one point. If the start-finish line was where it normally is at tracks, he would have finished third but got hustled back to the eighth position. Kurt Busch finishing in ninth position for Chip Ganassi Racing. And Kevin Harvick rounds out the top 10, leading two laps for himself, but in that Stewart Haas Ford of his, but not a bad run for him. In the top 15, we have William Byron, who led 11 laps for himself. Not bad for the young man for Rick Hendrick Racing. Ty Dillon for Germain Racing, finishing in 13th position. Jimmy Johnson in the Ally Bank, Rick Hendrick Chevy, finishing out in 13th place, leading a lap. Bubba Wallace, another interesting story. We'll talk about him and Corey LaJoy, but Bubba Wallace finishing in the 14th position, finishing there and leading a lap. Ryan Preece, who's had a fantastic run at Super Speedway, led three laps, finished 15th. In the top 20 from there on, Corey LaJoy, who helped Bubba Wallace on the very last, I believe the last four laps of the race, pushed him down pit road to make sure he had enough fuel to finish that race because he ran out just like he and many others had projected they would, four laps to go. Corey LaJoy in the Go Fast Ford finishes in the 16th position. Joey Logano finishes in the 17th position, leading 33 laps for himself. My driver, Michael McDowell, finishes 18th position. Brad Keselowski finishes his Ford in the 19th. And Tyler Reddick, who won the first stage, brings out a 20th place finish. Not a great finish for himself, but he was up there points, almost leading laps, leading 19th pole, and possibly going for a win. Brendan Gaughan making his last season start, finishing in the 21st position. Cole Custer finishing in the 22nd position, for Stewart Haas Racing. Martin Truex Jr., who led the first four laps and the only laps for himself, finishing 23rd. Ryan Newman in the Castro Ford for Jack Roush Racing led one lap, finishing 24th. And Clint Bowyer in the Barstools America Ford for Stewart Haas Racing, which has a beautiful-looking car, says two-time champion. Talk about the World Wars, which is quite funny. Finishing 25th. And 26th on the 30th, Matt DiBenedetto finishing in the 26th for the Wood Brothers, leading a lap, a good run for him. Quint Hoff in the Starcom Racing 00 finishing 27th. Not a bad finish for him and kept the car intact. Daniel Suarez in the Gomp Brothers Racing Toyota finishing 28th. Christopher Bell finishing in the 29th position while leading four laps for himself. Greg Golding in the 27th for Rick Ware Racing, finishing 30th for himself. In the 31st to 35th, we have BJ McLeod and Spirit Motorsports, who announced they will be fielding a car at the All-Star Race for Justin Haley, who did win a race at Daytona last year. BJ finished in 31st position. Kyle Busch finished three laps down, which is incredible to hear, and he led five laps, and he had a tire blowout, which caused him to go down so many laps. Kimmy Hill and the roofcleans.com Toyota finishing in the 33rd position. Garrett Smithley in the 78th for BJ McLeod Racing finishing 34th. And Brendan Poole, Brady's driver, finishing in the 35th position, crashed out unfortunately. And your 36th to last place, 40th, we had JJ Yaley in the Rick Ware Racing number 53. Joey Gase in the 51 car finishing in the 37th place for Rick Ware Racing. Chase Elliott, who had a big incident, finishing in the 38th place, even leading three laps for himself. Unfortunately, a wreck would end his day. The same with Austin Dillon, who would crash out in that same wreck, finishing 39th. And unfortunately, Matt Kenseth, who lost a rear end hub, would be done for the day at lap 127. Just looking at that, you had a very big difference between all-star teams and everyday teams. And still, it felt like it was back in the heyday. Hard racing all the way around, and it didn't matter who was racing. At one point, you had the action you wanted. You had passes in the front, passes in the back, three, four, even five wide racing sometimes, which is kind of scary at Talladega. The stages break down. The number 8 car of Tyler Reddick, who last week had a very interesting incident on the last lap at Homestead, the 88 of Alex Bowman. Joey Logano in the 22, finishing 3rd in the first stage. Jimmy Johnson in the 48, finishing 4th. Kyle Busch finishing 5th. The number 12, Brian Blaney, the race winner, finishing sixth. The Brad Keselowski, the number two car, finishing eighth. Or seventh, I'm sorry. The one car of Kurt Busch finishing in the eighth position. The nine of Chase Elliott finishing ninth. The 24 of William Byron finishing 10th place. And then if you look down the second stage win, you had the 47 of the 47 of Ricky Stenhouse Jr. winning the stage there. Then you had Ryan Blaney, again, the race winner, finishing second. Kyle Busch finishing 18th. Brad Keselowski finishing third, in the 18 car. Brad Keselowski in the 2 car finishing in the 4th position. In the 5th position, you had Christopher Bell in the 95. You had Joey Logano in the 6th position in the 22 car. Bubba Wallace with a stage point, getting stage points, finishing in the 7th position, the 43. The 41 of Cole Custer, who had an amazing run for himself, finishing in the 8th place. The 17 of Chris Fisher, finishing in the 9th spot for that stage. And in the 10th spot for points in the stage, William Byron yet again. This race wasn't defined by crashes, but by thrilling moments is the best way to say it. Competition caution at 27. We had Mother Nature and interrupt us yet again at lap 56. We finished that first stage under caution, unfortunately. But we would go back racing at lap 65, where we had our first real race incident. John Hunter Nemechek, a young gentleman who has a lot of racing behind him. The name Nemechek carries through. His father, Joe, still races to this day, and it was very cool last season for a few races to see Joe and John race in all three series. And not often you get to see dad and son get to race on Sunday. But you had that incident on the 96, it's been on the front stretch. Luckily, the car did not get destroyed. We had a debris caution lap 116. In stage 2 at 122, we had our first real incident with Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, and Austin Dillon. Chase Elliott really got a hard push by the Brad Keselowski, pushed him into the wall, really caving in the front nose to the point where the front wheels would barely touch the road, and that's not a good thing. And that same crash, Austin Dillon would suffer quite a bit of damage and have to go, unfortunately, behind the wall and end his day there. Lap 143, we had our second caution for an incident. The 15 and the 51 got into each other. We're still unclear what happened, but Brendan Poole either lost a tire or something. It was just about to spin, and Joey Gase went into the wall. Then on lap 187, you had the 48 and the 4 get into it. Luckily, no damage, just a spin out. And then we saw the last lap. The last restart, lap 191, or lap 190 to 191, a two-lap shootout to decide the winner, which was Ryan Blaney, and he won. John, I want you to try to imagine how much of a difference this is in time. He won by 0.007 seconds.
We used to call that a photo finish.
Bull, that's what they had to use, unfortunately, was the photo finish, and I'll tell you what. It's just like he won his last race at Talladega, just by a few inches. And last year, I will say with this, it was kind of like the finish we had at the Daytona 500 this year. Him and Ryan Newman and Denny Hamlin all going for that win, but everyone stayed on their wheels, luckily. We didn't see any crazy flips or nothing. But that itself is an incredible finish for itself. It was a big pack of cars going for a win. We had him, Ryan Blaney going for the win, pushing a couple drivers up. And man, John, do you know what makes Talladega a little more special besides it being a little bigger than Daytona? Why people go to that race more often?
Because it's in Alabama.
So most tracks, the start finish line is in the middle of the front stretch. Well, in order to sell more seats, it was quite interesting. The developer, the builders, and NASCAR itself put the start finish line in the middle of the trioval and the entrance to turn one. So instead of being in the dead center of the front straightaway, it's almost three quarters down the front straightaway to going into turn one. So it's not a very clean cut. You can be leading at a normal start finish line, but finish in the 13th spot, which we actually have seen several times. And that's what makes Daytona, Talladega such a fun, interesting track to go race at, because, man, howdy, I'll tell you what, that finish, again, side by side, 3-4 wide, going to the line, you can't have anything else with it.
Well, they're having a great time with there, so that'll be a blast.
Oh, yeah, and one thing I do want to say too is the support behind that race. I mean, I know many people who were able to go to that race, and man, if people were saying, "Oh, look, the fans are empty." You can only have NASCAR and the Talladega Motor Speedway only allowed 6,000 or 5,000 fans, and you could really tell that they all were out there, and they all stood the rain both days to watch that race. And the celebration you could of them actually hearing the fans for the first time really was just incredible, and it gave me chills to think that we could be back normal racing soon.
Wow. Well, that'll be a great one, I'll tell you that.
It definitely will. So, John, do you have any questions on Talladega or anything that I had said about the past a little over an hour?
Not at all. Not at all. You are a great teacher. Been a lot of fun. And Brady, we hope you get better. And if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. You may lose your seat to me. Maybe not.
Well, before we end tonight, I know it's not, you know, the full hour and a half, but it's kind of odd not having Brady here. We do have some special racing going on this weekend. So at Pocono, this is actually this was scheduled well before this whole coronavirus hit. John, Pocono was going to hold a doubleheader race. There was going to be two races, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, and we're still having that. And this is the first time that NASCAR has ever done an actual doubleheader in the same series in just under 24 hours. The Cup Series will run, so it will be the ARCA Series will run on Friday night, or Friday afternoon, I'm sorry. The Truck Series, I'm sorry, will run on Saturday morning. The Xfinity guys will run just after that. Then the Xfinity guys will run Sunday morning, and the Cup guys will run just after them. Again, doing a doubleheader, I believe it's a 350-mile race and then a 325 race. So they'll be doing just over 675 miles in 2 days. That's a tricky triangle, I might add, as well.
That'd get me to St. Louis.
In 2 days.
Yep.
That's about right. St. Louis, Missouri. But yeah,
uh-huh.
So, one other thing, too, to inform me about this track we're going to. It's called the Tricky Triangle because it looks just like a triangle. Pocono is a very special design track. It's a very long and wide front stretch. Indy cars, when they raced there at one point, they had 7-8 wide in a race, and there was no legitimate turn four. In fact, if you look down the straight, you can see it will say turn three, and it will say turn four, question mark. It is always an interesting race. It's a track that has three different corners to it, which means you have a lot of different driving styles, including drivers shifting down to third gear sometimes, depending on what kind of speed they carry. So this weekend, Pocono will be jam-packed with 4 to 5 races to talk about, and hopefully Brady will be back so we can talk about every single one of those races.
Otherwise, you're stuck with me.
I'm fine with that.
It'll be great. It'll be great. But anyway, thanks a lot. It's been a lot of fun tonight, and we hope everybody has a great week, great weekend. Watch some racing. Watch some wrestling if you can, too. Maybe a little golf. Then we'll all have something to talk about. So we'll see you, and hopefully Brady, I'll send vibes to him, make sure he gets better. So we'll see you guys next week on the one, the only, the Charlotte Line.
The Charlotte line.
That's right. You can close down the show now, buddy.
Yes, I will. Y'all have a great night.
Great.
We'll see you same time, same place. See y'all tomorrow.
Same bat channel, same bat time. You got it. Take care.
I'll be Robin. Bye.